Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Zach Celadonia.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and joining me over to my side here, a good buddy, colleague, and pal rejoining us from a week off. He got the slack off a little bit. I like that. Slack rhymes with Zach Flash Celadonia. What's going on, my friend?
You know what else rhymes with Zach and slack is I'm back. The Cam from last year. We'll be talking about a different Panthers quarterback on this show, though. But yeah, that's I'm feeling back. Zach is here.
Oh, man, the low-hanging fruit for sure. We were going to talk about football today. I guess it's definitely Steelers related. And we had some ideas. We were going to talk about maybe Deontay Johnson's contract, because for some godforsaken reason, people want to talk about what other people make. And if there's any friction, strife, anything like that, they're coming up with stuff. It's, we're 2 weeks away, 2.5 weeks away from Steelers training camp. So we're going to see what's really going to happen.
Just quarterbacks, a few more hours.
Yeah, I know. I got the countdown thing here, and I'm looking at it. I'm excited, man. It's been forever. 2 years since St. Vincent's College. I mean, it's just, it feels like forever. It really does. So I'm excited.
Until you go,
back.
You don't know how fun it really can be. I agree. It's such a good time. I love getting to go to watch them in training camp. It's almost like the same as going to a game. Not as intense, but the experience is so cool. The energy's so high. I'd recommend it to anybody who can go.
Yeah, you don't even have to be a bit. There's enough there for somebody that's not an X's and O's big time football person. I mean, you can go, you're going to spot different things. You're going to have fun in different ways. You may even get to bump into some players here or there. I mean, it's really fun. I was telling everyone too, if you missed some of the previous few episodes that we had, they have tickets this year. So make sure you go on to Steelers.com and grab a ticket. It's free. I don't know why they're ticketing it. They never used to in the past, but you're going to need that gizmo on your phone, just like you would to attend on game days. So something new, something else to complicate the process, of course. And, let's talk about Deontay real quick, just because I want to.
He texted me beforehand, we're going to table Deontay till next show. And it's like, you know what? Let's just do it anyway.
but just 2 seconds of this is really all it's needed. Does he get paid this year? Maybe. Does he get paid next year? Absolutely. Does he get paid by the Steelers? I don't like the idea that we just don't have enough of it. We didn't get enough of the research done to tell you the Steelers have paid wide receivers in the past. Just a lot of people have forgotten that it's been Antonio Brown like 2 or 3 times in a row. So they do invest money in the position. It's just kind of a really dumb argument that the Steelers are cheap or won't pay. Usually when they don't pay somebody, it's because they have, they already are paying someone else. So they were paying Antonio Brown. You can't pay Mike Wallace and Emmanuel Sanders. And before that was Hines Ward. So they weren't paying Plaxico Burress, et cetera, et cetera. I mean,
they have someone waiting in the wings, like you're saying, but with Wallace denying his contract, they kind of always knew. They were like, all right, well, if Wallace says no to this, we at least have a lot of faith in Antonio Brown, and we think he can work his way up to earning this contract, which clearly they were right about in that regard. So yeah, either they have somebody who they're already paying at that position a lot of money, or they have somebody waiting in the wings who they think is worth possibly the money that they aren't going to give to player A.
Yeah, one of the few times that they've actually not paid someone. I mean, you got to go back at least be thankful that there are people that you want to pay, like a Deontay Johnson. I know there's some people that don't. They're like, oh, no, he drops the ball. I mean, just stop. You know, if you've been following our show long enough, you know, we're not down with that particular rant or storyline or rumor or whatever you want to call it. But Yancey Thigpen is the one that got away. And it was, I think, right off the heels, like a year or two after Super Bowl 30. And what you don't understand here is, and it's the same thing that happened with He Who Shall Not Be Named, who he had a monster contract. I gotta go back to we're in modern free agency or whatever, but there wasn't free agency forever in the NFL. Rod Woodson really pushed for it, and he was making like half of Neil O'Donnell at one point. Yancey Thigpen, when you get into, like, you know, salary caps and everything like that, in 1998, he signed a 5-year, $21 million contract with the Houston Oilers. At that time, it was the highest known contract ever signed among wide receivers. And most people aren't aware of that. They made him the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. Yeah, okay, the Steelers didn't match it at that particular point. Gee, you wonder?
Yeah, that's a real interesting little nugget there. I never knew that about Thigpen. I knew he was, like, one of the better receivers of the 90s for the Steelers, but I never knew that he went out and set the market for receivers in the late 90s. That's super interesting.
I've got a really dumb Yancey Thigpen story. It has to deal with hanging around with the Steeler gang guys down in Jacksonville after, oh, geez, we were promoting the tailgate parties that were going on down there, and it was open bar, all you could eat, drink, and everything like that. So everyone was having a good time before the game. After the game, it was like one of these things where it was like, hey, I got this guy in my phone, and my dude, John, I don't know if he wants to be called by real name, but he just starts talking to Yancey Thigpen. He's got him, like, on FaceTime, and in the cell reception's crap. But it was hilarious. This was several years ago. And it was just like one of my random Yancey Thigpen stories. Hey, how's it going, Yancey? You know what I mean? It's like, at least dude made some big money. But he was like the biggest, it was one of the biggest names the Steelers had. 79 passes, 1,398 yards, and 7 touchdowns in 1997 for his second Pro Bowl. So Deontay just having made his first Pro Bowl, exceeding 1,000 yards. Come on, they're not paying anyone else on offense. I've gotten into this a little deeper than I already wanted to for today, but I don't know that we have a whole lot of meat on the bone to talk about it otherwise. So we're going to get ahead of potential any rumblings or rumors or anything. Usually a lot of these things under Kevin Colbert happened during training camp, and they wouldn't talk in season. So we don't know if that's going to change with Omar Khan, if he's going to have the same kind of, like, hardline stance. Look, we're not talking about this in season. We're not going to have any type of distractions or anything like that. But Deontay, I think if they're going to keep somebody, it's probably going to be Deontay at this point, although they have guys waiting in the wings and they're not spending any money on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. People love to gatekeep the Steelers' money, and we don't have any money invested into the offense at all. We've joked about Derek Watt being the highest paid guy on offense, and they aren't paying a quarterback right now a lot of money, which is a key element that a lot of people don't understand, that when you're paying a quarterback $30, $40 million a year, like Ben or whoever, you know, most top 10 quarterbacks make that kind of money. Whenever you break a quarterback off like that, it makes it a lot harder to retain and pass the bag around on offense, in a sense. And the Steelers aren't doing that. Pardon me. They have Mitch playing for pennies and Mason playing for pennies, and Kenny's on a rookie contract, obviously. They're in the perfect scenario to pay a guy like Deontay. So I think a lot of people have seen the headlines that say the Steelers have the most expensive defense and they're paying, you know, the most expensive player in the game with TJ and the most expensive safety in Minka, which that'll change very soon, as soon as the next safety gets paid. But I think people see that and they're kind of like turned off, like, oh, we can't possibly pay any money on the offense when we're paying this much money on defense. The Steelers are aware of how much they're spending on defense. They're not morons. In fact, Omar Khan has been the cap wizard this whole time during Colbert's tenure. So I'm not concerned with the idea that they don't have enough money to spend on Deontay because of how much they put on defense. I think there's a very clear divide in how much they want to spend on defense and on offense. They know that they aren't spending anything right now on offense, and they know, I believe, that they will have the means to pay Deontay. It's just a matter of them coming to an agreement. And as we both said, I'm all for Deontay staying. I think it makes sense for both sides. He's dropping the ball way overblown, as we've already touched on. And yeah, I don't think at this point, I could be wrong. Happily, I'll be wrong. But I don't think they're going to work out a deal until after the season. At this point, anyway, I'd be pretty surprised. With camp coming up, like, it's just really random for them to sign him now unless he starts to hold out, which I don't think will happen because he was there for the workouts prior to camp. So yeah, holding out now would be kind of a weird move.
Yeah, he missed like one day and everybody made a big deal about it. And then he showed up the next day and he had these players are in constant communication, even with their agents and whoever. And this is, I think, how things usually get screwed up, because it's not like maybe Deontay has the bat phone for Mike Tomlin. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and call him up whenever he needs support or someone to talk to.
He's probably one of those players, but if you're in the middle of contract negotiations, this is what you pay your agents to do. Yeah, you know, you're eating breakfast that morning. You're not worried about texting or letting the team know you're everywhere about.
It's like Deontay's DMing them tweets about like his like positive stats. Like, hey, did you guys see this? What they're saying about me on Twitter? Led the league in not drops last year. He's not advertising himself.
Oh man, I got a good story about that, but I won't share it right now. But I threw something like that in someone's face in a very previous incarnation of my life, a different hat I used to wear. So I'll tell you that offline. Steelers right now, though, over the cap for next year has them with about $37.5 million in cap space. It's more than enough to squeeze them under. It's just that Christian Kirk and Tyreek Hill and AJ Brown and Davante Adams. They kind of screwed this all up, you know what I mean? Oh, and Scary Terry McLaurin just got paid too. I mean, all of these guys getting paid, but Kirk really screwed it up because somebody else was just like, you know, like Cheetah over there going down to the Dolphins, Tyreek Hill. Man, look at this guy. This guy just made
Of all the guys, though, why Christian Kirk? They could have thrown that money at, you know, one of the other guys you mentioned and tried to coerce them to come down. I just don't get what the Christian Kirk allure is.
Yeah, that's the only guy that was going to come to Jacksonville. Yeah. That's the thing. You're not going to end up doing that. It's kind of like everybody's like, well, why did Baker Mayfield go to the Panthers or whatever? The only team that was willing to give the Cleveland Browns any money or anything, I think, of substance, and yeah, that's a whole other topic. Yeah,
it had to be them or the Seahawks. There was no one left that didn't have a like a sure thing at quarterback. I say sure thing loosely, but like, I mean, even the Steelers, like everyone knows that they have their starter in camp right now. And even the Texans, there's word that like they really like Davis Mills, and there's no like competition there. So you try to think of any team that like doesn't have a concrete starter, it's just the Panthers and the Seahawks. So it was always going to be one of them too.
Yeah, and even so, they've got their backup guy they've liked for a while. It has some pedigree in the league, Geno Smith. He played halfway decently. I'm not going to say he's like some superstar. Yeah. Sam Darnold, did that ship sail? Would they bring Cam back? You know, there's like a whole bunch of things with that. I'll be talking about that very soon because we're gonna touch on the other AFC North teams here in upcoming episodes and give some takes on it and that. I got to brush up a little bit on the Browns, for example. It's just like, man, just a bunch of moves. In fact, I think Jacoby Brissett has a larger cap hit than Mitch Trubisky or Mason Rudolph. Not combined, but he's like 4.6 or 4.8. He's like in that same stratosphere of this is backup money. So
I was just doing the same thing, dude. I was like, the Browns, like, you know what? Come to think of it, they've been so not on my mind lately, except for the Deshaun Watson stuff, that I did a brief like look at their roster and I was like, oh yeah, they traded for Chase Winovich. I totally forgot about that. And he's wearing 69, by the way. So that's great. Nice. That's good humor on Chase's part. Very nice.
They trade for him and then they brought back Clowney. I don't know what they're trying to do. I liked Chase Winovich coming out of college. It was kind of a surprising trade, but we'll get on that. Like I said, that's one of many, many items. We're actually kind of waiting to see what happens with Watson because lo and behold, I actually cut a part out of the last show I did. We did one last week because of the 4th of July holiday, and it's great to see that you have all your fingers and toes, or at least I'm assuming so. From the holiday, I was hoping for your best health and well wishes there, but I was talking about Baker and the Deshaun Watson situation on the last episode, and as I'm doing it, I said, well, as of right now, you know what I mean, as of right now, because lo and behold, you know, I'm gonna say this, and by the time this is up and everyone's watching this on YouTube or listening, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're at, something's gonna happen.
That's good podcasting. And the disclaimer, of course.
Wouldn't you know, right at the tail end, I get buzz, 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 my phone starts going off, and Baker gets traded, like, as I did this. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And so there's
right as
like,
it goes up.
Yeah, so I ended up thinking, there's a chunk that's out of there. You know, I did very, very good editing on my end, so most of you didn't watch the last one anyway, so it doesn't matter. But for our two percenters that did, and I know some people probably aren't even, you know, we're however many minutes in and somebody likes to put the timestamp in the comments of wherever, you know, this little topic down here is just generalization. We've got a whole, you know, cornucopia of things, a potpourri of topics to talk about. And we'll get on to this because the Deontay thing, it's like, how much more are we going to talk about him? We want to talk about the Browns. We've been wanting to talk about the Browns, the Ravens, and the Bengals. And I've been biting to do it. And we got a little bit of time. Camp's coming around. So we're going to end up there. But the big news yesterday or last night or whatever, heading into this morning, where everybody was already, they were out, they were clickbaiting the crap out of this. And I hate to say it, we've got just one guy for a source here so far, but it seems like Pro Football Talk and everybody else has picked up on it. Andrew Filippone was breaking yesterday, and this isn't actually that big of breaking news, believe it or not, that Heinz Field is no more. The ketchup giant will not extend its naming rights deal for 2022. Sources say a new name for the stadium could be announced this week. And we've already got those rumblings already. So those talks have already been there. We knew it was like a 20-year whatever deal. I've got the figures, which are actually pretty crazy when you start to put them up against the other naming rights and stadiums and stuff. So we'll talk about this a little bit because it's almost the end of an era, Zach. I mean, it's...
My heart will not go on, bro. I'm not okay about this. It's so lame. It needs to be Heinz Field forever.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree, but Heinz Field, the whole logo, everything, ketchup bottles, we're brokenhearted. It's an end of an era, and we've got the official word here that came from Pony. He's on the Fan, right? Yeah. The ketchup bottles are coming down. Heinz Field will be renamed. Boy, we're going to have fun with this one.
Acrisure.
Is that like a drink or something for like the old folks? I don't know.
I feel like Ralphie in A Christmas Story when he's like Ovaltine, a crummy commercial. That's how I feel looking at that Acrisure thing. I said, a seizure stadium? I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, but go back to the tweet. It's after the Michigan-based insurance brokerage firm. An official announcement could come as soon as Tuesday. It almost seems like it's already official, depending on where you're looking around. Get a look over here at Acrisure's logo. That's just, those colors are just... don't vibe with the red ketchup, man. And yeah. I don't know. We'll talk about maybe some alternatives that may
not
have
even
been
black and gold. It's blue and gold. And it's that gross. It's like those old pit colors before they finally changed them back and they got their senses back and went back to the cool colors. And that's like old school pit right there, like 2000 to 2010.
It's that vomit. I mean, Vegas gold that the Pens used.
Yeah, the Penguins. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, it's like, come on, man. It's like, get with the program. I understand Pitt's been around 100 and whatever years, and they've got their own tradition. But it's like, hey, if you looked around town lately, and then the Pens go and do that like years ago, and it was just like, what the hell are you doing? Like, who's in your marketing department there? And speaking of marketing departments, there's one of the ones. They did this for fun. We knew it wasn't going to be this, but some fans still had to put out Permane Brothers tweeting out, here's hoping they accept our bid. Permane Brothers Field sounds pretty sick. We offered unlimited pastrami and cap, the capicola, the capicola, though. So maybe, fingers crossed. And I'm just like, we know that like the small regional, everybody's going big, they're going national, but the problem I have is like I've never heard of Acrisure in my life until just now. I mean, PPG Paints with the Pens, I'm okay with that. I mean, that at least made sense, you know.
Used to that fast too. I mean, like anything else of this degree, I'm sure that I'll bitch and moan about Acrisure Stadium and it'll be the center focus of my complaints for the next 2 weeks, and then I'll forget about it and it'll feel natural to say. But I am kind of with this movement right now that I've seen on Twitter that people are like, we're just going to keep calling it Heinz Field. It's Heinz Field or nothing. And I'm like, you know what? I'll do that too until one day I just forget.
Yeah, no, it's the Starlight deal down in Bergenstown. Yeah. Like nobody calls it. Well, I don't even remember what the last thing, it was something or other bank at whatever.
That's exactly what someone said on Twitter. They used that as an example. They're like, it'll be just like that. And we'll just keep calling it Heinz Field forever. I said, all right, works for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a website guy by trade, right? And I've done it almost my entire life, going back to high school. And I go on to, I feel like I go into a time warp when I'm here at Acrisure. I think that's how you say it. I'm guessing here that it's not something different. Here we go. Well, let's let it move a little bit more. Hopefully don't get tagged with a copyright thing.
Nice graphics. Yeah, that's design department working hard.
Dude, it's totally like, you know, 2010 called and wants their Adobe Flashback.
They're like showing me a PowerPoint. I'm like, oh, snap. Look at that.
Flash is dead. But I don't know. They said insurance, but they've got all these other things here. They got insurance. They got reinsurance. Like real estate services, cyber services, asset and wealth management. Okay, I've never seen you advertise before in my life, but apparently putting your name on the stadium now is it's already done its job to some degree, right?
Yeah, they got us looking and researching, like, ooh, what is this company? Yeah, we're taking the cheese.
Well, let me tell you what this reminds me of. Prestige Worldwide. Wide. No, wait a minute. They're the first word in entertainment. Management, financial portfolios, insurance, computers, black leather gloves, research and development.
Investors?
Worldwide Stadium. What's that?
Investors? Possibly you.
Possibly you. Last week we put liquid paper on a bee. And it died. Oh, man. But, you know, I'm poking some fun at this company. And now we're going to have to, I don't know. There's been some suggestions out there. Let's go with the one thing going backwards. You got Highmark Stadium that's in Buffalo. Now, there's already a Highmark that's the soccer stadium. They use it for football, too, but it's for the Pittsburgh Riverhounds right there on the other side, Station Square and whatnot. But so I didn't think, you know, they're not going to be able to do two, although somehow it was like Mercedes-Benz overlapped, and then it became the Caesars Superdome now in New Orleans. But it was the Mercedes-Benz Dome, and then they went and sponsored Atlanta. So you had a little bit of that, but I didn't think Highmark was going to be there. UPMC, I mean, Highmark would make sense if they weren't already in Buffalo, right? UPMC, is UPMC a big enough brand nationally? I'm not sure the Acrisure is, but apparently they got the money for it.
That's what I thought it was going to be, was UPMC. When I heard that it wasn't going to be Heinz anymore, I thought UPMC was going to make a run for it.
Yeah, and it's like you're not going to have PPG sponsoring two different things. PNC's already next door. What other big brands? I mean, the big thing is the reason Heinz went away. And Heinz went away because it's owned and it's been, you know, merged, bought, whatever, consolidated into Kraft Foods.
Yeah.
This deal that they signed was like 20 years ago when the stadium first started. And we'll get into a little bit of that as well. But just like some of the other names or potential names, I'm not sure that there was, what else are you going to put on the side of the building? U.S. Steel. Somebody said U.S. Steel. I'm like, is the steel industry that healthy to be blowing like $20 million a year on a naming right or whatever the final figure ends up coming out as? I don't know if you saw anything else out there as far as the names, but that was kind of, I was kind of like, where else is it going to go? It's going to be something completely random we never thought of, unless they did have those signs up for like Peoples and Pepsi that were in the end zone. I thought maybe they might lift up and, you know, put a little more money in the till maybe, but I'm like, I don't see Giant Eagle doing this.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No. I saw a bit, I think it was Mikey and Big Bob. You know, they do those Facebook comments or whatever for Kiss. And I think this was when it was announced they were going to be dropping Heinz Field. They had people in the comments going off saying, let's just call it Rooney Field or Big Ben Field. And like, none of these people understand that it isn't about like what you've done for the Steelers. They have to pay for it. And Big Ben's not shelling out $20 million a year to have the field. I'm sure he would love that. If anybody would love it to be called Big Ben Stadium, it's Big Ben, but he's not paying for that. The Rooneys aren't gonna just pay for it themselves to be named after themselves. So like you said, and like I kind of said for a joking minute there, I'll bitch about this for the next week straight and then just forget.
Yeah, well, the Big Ben Field, that's a good way to have one of these athletes with the go broke story. Like, here, I just spent the money on the naming rights. It's like buying, like, it's like, I'm like, where? How did Sauce Gardner, like, is that a real chain of the bottle of sauce that he's got? Or are those like, you know, cubic zirconias or something like that. I'm like, dude, like, just coming out of college, like, save some money for a little bit, man. It's like, you know, I'm sure you could pawn that thing if you ever become broke and get a nice, probably put it at an auction house or something and make some money off of it. It'll be okay. But don't be one of those guys where it's like, it's sad that you pawn your Hall of Fame ring or something like that.
Dude, corner is risky too. I feel like there's so many busts at corner that go high. You know, I think of some of the names. I mean, obviously, Eli Apple comes to mind, and Jeff Okuda from a couple of years ago still hasn't found his footing. Like, corner is kind of a really risky spot to go early and then start blowing your cash. I guess they all are, though, by definition. But I don't know. I think he probably – when did the NIL deal go through? Because he probably got some money just from being Sauce Gardner. So it probably wasn't like that big of a hit to his finances, honestly.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. I tend to forget about those things. I'm not sure how much these guys are making off of some of that stuff. But
yeah,
I know they get advances, but how much of an advance? I'd have to see what his rookie deal is. He's probably – I don't know, what did Kenny get? 20 million? And he would have got
24,
more. 24,
I want to say, but like only like something like half guaranteed or 18 of it guaranteed. I can't remember now.
Yeah, I'm actually going to pull it up. Should have. I had it like on my screen. Oh, come on. Kenny's here. There we go. Yeah. When you're a rookie, and if he would have got drafted a little higher, he probably makes a little bit more money. Like Baker made like the maximum you can because he was top overall pick.
Yeah.
So Kenny's got, let's see, well, his cap number, let's see, 14. Yeah, it was 14, including a 7.4 signing bonus. So,
okay.
Yeah, I could probably find Sauce. I don't know. It's just so random.
I still remember,
like,
Matt Stafford. He was the last one to get like $100 million as a first round pick or whatever it was before they like fixed that problem in the NFL. And they were like, okay, the top 10 draft picks are getting like hundreds of millions of dollars. We need to like fix this. I think Stafford, like, his first deal with the Lions was astronomical. And then the next year they were like, all right, no more of that. Because a lot of these guys aren't good when they sign for like $50 million guaranteed.
Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah.
Was like the one that was really the catalyst for that, because I guess there was the story of, I don't know if you ever heard this one, but
you're right. Yeah. At least Stafford was good. So yeah, it's a good point. It was Billy Russell that kind of like set it off, but go ahead.
Yeah, there was like the story about, I think they gave him like tapes to watch.
Yeah.
But they gave him blank tapes because they knew he wasn't watching them. And he said, oh, yeah, I watched all that and blah, blah, blah. He like tried to BS his way through it and it didn't work.
Cover two.
Yeah, just genius. So anyways, Sauce Gardner, Ahmad Sauce Gardner, cornerback, New York Jets, $33.4 million.
There you go.
Yeah, so yeah, ends up making a lot more, well, number four overall. So
yeah,
it's a lot more money in that specific space.
Is that all guaranteed?
No, I don't think any of the rookies are usually all guaranteed. 21.5 of that.
Okay.
Guaranteed. So yeah, it's an interesting, it's just interesting because that's the way it used to be. They were throwing all this money at unproven players, and all the veterans were like, well, wait a second.
Exactly.
And the money isn't there for them. So now it's kind of like, it's balanced out where the players that are in the middle here after the rookie contract, like a Deontay Johnson probably signs at least two healthy contracts, I would think. And then, you know, he's going to hit like 30 years of age, 32 years of age. He might get like a 1 year here or there. Look at Larry Ogunjobi. You get hurt and you're still like young. Larry Ogunjobi, 1 year, $8 million or whatever. So it's interesting how that rookie pay scale ends up sliding. And this actually is a good segue to what these particular firms and businesses, Acrisure or whatever, and what the financials are and why Heinz via Kraft Foods is why they're no longer the sponsor or they have the naming rights for whatever it's going to be, Three Rivers Stadium, whatever we want to call it. It has never been called anything besides Heinz Field.
North Shore Stadium. Southside Stadium.
Yeah, Rooney Field at whatever. And that can happen. That can happen. And we're I am going to bring that up in a couple minutes. But they signed originally a 20-year, $57 million. And they signed 57 specifically for the 57 varieties, which is kind of funny.
No, did they really?
So, yes, they did.
That's
yes, they
hilarious.
Did. I know. It's really great. So
shame it wasn't 67, I guess, for them.
So they were paying roughly almost $3 million. It's $2.85 per year, and that's what they were going to say is well below market value. And you're like, gee, you know, you think that's below market value. So SoFi out in playing for LA. Now they've got two teams that play in the stadium, but they got the stadium rights over there. $400 million over 20 years versus the 57. This is just where it goes through the roof. It's even funny, like you're mentioning, looking back on, and we can do this, some of the quarterback contracts and seeing what some of these players got paid or what the free agency was, just like the Yancey Thigpen thing. Like, that's still pretty big. That was 4 years, $29 million. Like, now these guys are making $29 million a year with the way these contracts are headed. But MetLife.
Stadium after themselves if they wanted to.
They could. Tyreek Hill, Cheetah Stadium or something like that.
Yeah.
Let's see. MetLife for the Jets and the Giants. A similar annual price. Axios. There's another one. Like,
I still don't even know what SoFi is. It makes me think of the Sci-Fi Channel.
SoFi is like those predatory lenders.
So that's
paycheck
why I don't
know. Advance. Like, well, I kid a little bit. They send you these mailers. I get them. You get them from all of these different lending houses, and like, you know, consolidate all your debt 5 year. And you can get up to $70,000 or whatever. And yeah, so that's what they do. I mean, we know what MetLife is. They used to have peanuts instead. Now they have the Giants and Daniel Jones. So it's like
pretty much
trade-off. Let's see. According to this article too, teams in similar markets to Pittsburgh are also bringing in far more money than the Steelers per year. Buffalo, when they had New Era. So this article was still, they didn't have a date on it, but it was probably, 2019 is when this started. Is this why it surprised me that people are surprised about this? This isn't like brand new.
Yeah.
This has been in talks. People knew this was expiring soon. So even a few years ago, everyone knew this pre-pandemic.
People are dumb.
Yeah. It makes you wonder how long that this whole COVID thing's been going on. So, but New Era was temporarily their Orchard Park with Buffalo, and they paid $5 million. First Energy was paying $6 million to Cleveland, and Nissan was paying $6.5 million down in Nashville, Tennessee for the Titans. And Mercedes-Benz pays $12 million per year to the Atlanta Falcons. For a stadium that was brand new and didn't need to be built to begin with. So
they're the ones that are famous for doing the good deals though. I do like how the Falcons, I think this is them. They, all their stadium food is like reasonably priced. Like, you know, we're all used to paying like $11 mm-hmm. for a beer or $9 for, a burger. Theirs is all like regular price, like $5 for a beer, $6 for a burger, like stuff you would expect to pay, not like these astronomical prices. So my hat's off to them for that, because I don't know how they're doing that salary cap wise, because they just built that place. So, but it can be done. So I would like other stadiums to follow suit.
I think they had a lot of taxpayer funds in that. It's just weird because I've been to Atlanta several times and I've been into the Georgia Dome. And maybe I'll get to go to the new stadium this year. I had that as maybe it's a pretty easy trip to get down there. There's flights. Atlanta's a huge airport. So cheap flights, large stadium, maybe a team that's not doing so well might be able to get a ticket and go there pretty easy. But the George Dome, not too far off. They have giant convention center, all the Olympic stuff, all the Olympics that were in 1996. They had all that stuff there. So it was kind of, I don't know, it just felt really strange. It was like, man, this isn't a bad facility at all. But I had heard that about the concession prices. Some places, not too bad. Let me give you a little example. My local minor league ballpark, I went there for the 4th of July, believe it or not, to catch some fireworks. I just got lazy. I was grilling and cooking all week, and I'm like, I'm not doing this. Let's go to the ballpark.
Yeah.
At beer, what did I pay for a beer? I don't know. I tipped the lady. I might have paid $10 for a beer. But it was like a 20-ouncer or 22-ouncer. It was a nice draft beer. And the tip. And it was an $8 foot-long brat. And I'm like, you can't beat it. Every time I go there, I'm almost like I'm a creature of habit. I get the same thing. Or like a jumbo hot dog, $4 or whatever. I'm one that likes to tailgate before Steelers games because I like to drink what I like to drink. I'm not going to get the swill that is infested, you know, AB InBev. There was a nice craft spot and they even had that torn out within like a year. And then there's all the brands they own. And I'm not like against like a Bud Light necessarily. If I'm in the stadium, though, I'm getting a Yingling. But there's no variety. Like Goose Island's owned by them now. It's like, nah, I'd rather sit in the parking lot and get ahead of the traffic and have two or three brewskis or adult beverages. And I think I had a story here. There was a gentleman from Moon. If you're listening, get in touch with me, man. You had the best apple pie moonshine I've ever had in my life.
I've heard about this like 7 times.
Apple pie moonshine. It's un-freaking believable. It is the best stuff ever. I mean, because I've done apple cider with Tennessee Jack with the Crown apple flavors, a little bit lower proof, but not to get too much into the alcoholic beverage thing, but yeah, I'd much rather go and do that. I don't want to spend $10 on a Bud Light. Like
No. Like you said, if I'm buying a beer in the stadium, it almost has to be Yingling so I can like talk myself into paying the money. Or a tall White Claw. I'll buy one of those too because the alcohol content's nice. But that's usually what I'll buy at a Pirate game, actually, is a tall White Claw because of the alcohol content. But yeah, I can't stomach spending $10 on a Bud Light. Unless they want to sponsor the show, then I'll pay whatever for a Bud Light. It's a great drink. Quality.
Somewhere above my wall over here too. And by the way, there's the terrible towel. It's going to go out of style with the Heinz Field here. I got to make sure I'm still at the mic here. I didn't want to
whack retro.
The mic. Somewhere up here, I got a Labatt Blue can. They had the they were doing a promo thing where they did Zubaz. It was a veiled pro football sponsor because they don't have it like Coors and Bud have it. So they did things in team colors, which was really cool. So there's a black and gold Zubaz, like the Zubaz pants striped
here. Yeah, somewhere no, that up is here. Cool for sure. Yeah, I need a pair of them pants.
Yeah, in fact, you know what? Let me see if I could do this without. Oh, I can't quite reach it. I was gonna pull it down and get a photo of it. Why don't you speak to the masses, Zach? I'm gonna grab this thing.
Okay, hey, follow us on Twitter, like us on YouTube, subscribe, leave comments. Let us know your favorite Star Wars movies. Rank them 1 through 6.
Oh, geez. The Marvel people are all over, like, they're losing their crap over the Thor movie now. It's like they're never happy either. And I watched it, and I thought it was pretty darn solid. But
really, I've seen that. I'm not a big Marvel guy, but I've seen people complaining about the Thor movie. Oh, snap. That is cool.
So if you're watching on YouTube, there you go. Labatt Blue, Zubaz Can. One of my favorites. This one's actually, they didn't send it to me with anything. It was already emptied out like can collectors would do. And I have like an uncle that's like had a whole basement full of just domestic American beer cans. It's awesome. I'll have to pull up a photo of that sometime too. But yeah, so these different sponsorships cost like a ton of money, you know what I mean? And that's kind of the whole point of what we're saying here and what we're bringing up. It's kind of sad though. It's a little bittersweet. At least I got to do this little deal with my daughter here. I got another thing here for our video watchers here. I traveled to Heinz Field from, and this one right here, 2022. This is going to be now a collector's item. Heinz Field, Pittsburgh.
I had a couple of those too. I wasn't able to like keep them fresh over the years. I wish I would have though. Now that this happened, I used to have a couple of those signs, and they're long gone now. But that's a great thing to keep and hold on to.
You know, I might be able to send one your way. I got a couple of them. Now you're looking around like, hey, what could I grab off the shelf? Folks, we're still, did I mention we're 2.5 weeks from training camp? kind of all over the place, but maybe Acrisure. And like you said, Star Lake. Like, do we have, like, at some point, isn't it Star Lake again, or it's something or other at Star Lake? Like, they just renamed it again. I've got to find out.
Only place I'm going to be seeing it or referring to it on Acrisure is in Ubers when I get in the back of the car. Actually, no, I'm going to tell them at Heinz Field. They'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But when you're trying to Google search or map search, you're going to have to succumb to the name. But other than that, it's Heinz Field till I die.
I hear you loud and clear on that. It kind of reminds me of yelling Heath, and you know, you're just not going to let it go. Thing. People are like, how are the Yinzers going to say Acrisure, when you're saying things like Major and Warsh. It's just, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. Oh, come on. This is just absolutely, this website is just absolutely ridiculous when you're looking at, I don't know. Let's see what's here. I don't even know who's touring these days because I've been so disconnected from the music scene has been just a mess. Just a mess for the longest time. Starlake. Type in Starlake. Do they actually call it Starlake still? Somebody's got to know out there. And I hate just like kind of stumbling around like in the middle of the show looking at this. But Starlake, what do we call you now? There's no Wikipedia. The Pavilion. It's the Pavilion at Starlake. Hey, it was, now I remember what it was. Wasn't it like Nautica Pavilion? No, Nautica was up in Cleveland. It was
First Niagara.
First Niagara. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's one of them. And I think it was like Key or something too, like Key Bank Pavilion or whatever. So now it's the Pavilion. Don't make me say Pavilion too many times. I'm going to like stumble over my tongue and like sound like a complete jag over here.
No, no, dude, I still refer to it as First Niagara whenever someone's talking about it. A lot of supposed memories made at First Niagara going to concerts. I don't remember a whole lot of them. That's why I said supposed memories, but great times at First Niagara.
I'll tell you what. Try and get an Uber there.
Yeah, no, you're in the middle of nowhere, dude. Leaving there is a nightmare scenario. Again, hardly remember, but yeah, the part, like leaving and getting there, that was always a part that I hated about that place. Great times, though, so worth it when you think about it.
Okay, so Acrisure, I could picture Myron Cope trying to say this for some reason, like Acrisure, you know, hey, welcome to somebody who's already out there on Twitter saying, oh, let's can't wait for Bill Hillgrove to get on this. And it's going to be fun. I think it'd be some fun. There's going to be some slip of the tongue. It's the same thing like still saying Oakland Raiders, for example, or Washington
Chargers.
Redskins. It's just it's in your head. I always used to make fun of my uncle for doing that back in the day. And then they became the Oakland Raiders again. So, like, it's kind of funny. And now they're not the Oakland Raiders once more, or the Baltimore Colts or something like
yeah,
that.
We'll check but, back in 20 years. It'll be Heinz Field again.
But the building was never named anything different, Steeler Stadium. And so some people, you know, you can't, like, it's not like you threw naming rights on top of Three Rivers, for example. So I wonder if you think they do something like, I don't know, like let's say the Denver Broncos, for example, like Mile High. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, what is that? How do they get away with calling it Mile High? Is that a company? I've had a weed bar that was a Mile High chocolate bar from Denver before. It was pretty nice, but I can't imagine that's what the stadium is named after.
I think it's you bought a what?
You can get a chocolate bar from Denver. It's called a Mile High chocolate bar, and it's got weed in it. And I was like,
oh my goodness,
this must be what the stadium's named after, but evidently not.
Well, I mean, it's the Mile High City. I'm not sure that you could, I don't know if you could trademark that, for example. Like,
well,
I
how are they making money off is what I mean. Like, how did they name that Mile High Stadium? And
well, now it's been named something else. Once again, it's Empower Field at Mile High.
Okay.
Yeah. And if I could find like,
guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of like in between sponsors. It's been named, let's see, Invesco Field, Sports Authority Field, Broncos Stadium. This one was opened, this particular incarnation of it was opened the same year as Heinz Field. So there used to be Mile High Stadium before that as well. Is there anyone in the NFL that doesn't have a sponsor name? Because this is where I was going with this is like, will this be like, it was just Heinz Field. Now, are you going to call it like Acrisure Amphitheater, Acrisure Arena, like, what rolls off the tongue here? Acrisure, like the stadium? That just sounds so
I like
blah.
Arena. The double A is called the double A battery.
I know, but it's not really an arena. Like, is it like a Roman Coliseum or something like that? Or we're going to have like the chariots fighting or whatever. I don't know, man. It's
Acrisure Coliseum. That's kind of hard, actually.
Like just all over the place here. I was trying to pull up. Let's see. I'm trying to really think. We got SoFi. You've got Allegiant or whatever is Allegiant is now the Raiders, right? The big black Death Star, whatever. You got First Energy, M&T Bank,
Jerry World.
You know what you don't? Paul Brown is still Paul Brown.
Okay.
Yeah.
Down
in Cincinnati. So you have that, but like yeah, like Nissan and all of these Mercedes Benz, all these other ones that we've been talking about. And like I said, I was wondering, Pepsi Cola, like it's going to be brokenhearted here. No more ketchup bottles. They're going to have to redo how quick are they going to be redoing this? They got to redo the scoreboard and
yeah,
some of the facades.
Yeah, I'm used to the ketchup bottles, man. Those are going to end up in some yinzer's backyard.
Yeah, say so they're going to end up auctioning them off. It's going to be, I don't know, like you look at the other side of the stadium. and you're facing, which end is this? The north end, I believe. And I know you're having you're trying to peek in on that, but they put in the one scoreboard there, but there's like no branding there. I just wonder if they add like more signage, like how quick they do this. When they changed the Cleveland Indians over to the Guardians, they got that done pretty quick. But then again, they still kept the IANS part of that, and they were talking about how cheap their owners, the Dolans, are. So they kept that part of the name. But
the Guardians and the Indians, you know, I get it. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And there's certain things that aren't going to, you know what, man, I am totally bummed about this. I had a couple private photos I was going to put on here. Not like private, like, you know, like I'm sending unsolicited pics to your text.
Brett Favre over here. You're
dropping in your DMs, Brett Favre. I was thinking more recently, Vince McMahon, but yeah, I had one and it showed up upside down. It was the only photo I could find with the actual Heinz red zone. I'm so whiffed about that.
But when they pour the ketchup on the screen,
you know what, dude, it's upside down. You could get the idea.
I see it.
You know what it is? It's this stupid technology, man. The iPhones. I don't know if you've had this happen to you. You try and display something, you're showing photos like over like on your TV or something for, you know, your folks or whatever. Here's some pictures of my kid doing some fun stuff. And damn photos like upside down because they have like the metadata. It's all about the metadata.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
I'm peeved. My photos are like upside down. I have like some great freaking photos here. Here's one. This is probably the last thought we have on this.
And you should get that framed.
I might. It's the Thank You Ben game. And they had Thank You Ben up on the scoreboard after the game. And he's doing his victory lap around. And, you know, it's very dimly lit. The ketchup bottles are still there. But would you have thought that this is not only the final game for Ben Roethlisberger, but also the final time that you had set foot in what's called Heinz Field with the ketchup bottles up there? That's pretty intense to look back on now, man. It might shed an extra tear.
It's kind of nice that it goes down with Ben. It still sucks because I want to keep calling the Heinz Field, but kind of poetic that Ben and Heinz are going out together.
I totally agree with you, man. It's there's some folks out there that'll probably run their yapper about. Maybe Mike Tomlin should be out of there as well or whatever. I mean, but it's a new...
That's all the time.
Yeah, all the time. We can't escape that ever. But last game for Ben, last game for Kevin Colbert, home game, last game is Heinz Field. Keith Butler.
He was already gone.
No, he wasn't gone yet. No, he didn't. He left after. Yeah. Okay. This will be Terrell Austin. I know there's like a lot of change this season.
I keep forgetting about when he left and when Keith Butler, he like escapes me. I'm like, was he here last year? Yeah, he was.
Was he here? Would people have heard that he wasn't? You know, so I'll tell you what, let's see. I might have this. I'll get this fixed because I told you my OCD, man, it's going to get me. Bang. There we go. Behind red zone and the ketchup bottles on tilt. And we're just going to be missing probably my kid, especially love the fact of going there. And can we see the ketchup bottles? Can you see the ketchup bottles? And it's just it's bittersweet, man. I mean, what else can you say about it? I Acrisure Red Zone. Like my hunch is now that they're going to sell the naming rights for the Red Zone as well. It's going to be like another thing where they can get a dollar off of. But hey, if you could make that, hey, we'll find out what the money is. And we're also going off of reports, but I don't know. Could you really go away from, are we going to have to apologize later in the week and have a retraction and about making fun of Acrisure and defaming their business? Now we're going to have to name it. It's going to be Acrisure. Yeah. But I was thinking
in the mail.
Cease and desist. Like, will it be like Acrisure Field at Three Rivers Stadium or something like that? Like, that would be kind of neat.
They can make it cool. They can still salvage it. You know, I mean, it's not terrible. It's not ideal, but they can still salvage it with some kind of tweak on it like you're talking about there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe shorten it like ACF, ACG. Like maybe like make it a letter thing like that. Like that could work.
At the A. We're going down to the A.
The double A. The triple A.
The double A, the triple A, the whatever.
That's like baseball, I guess.
Yeah, there's already a Rooney Field, though, like in Pittsburgh, too. That's where Duquesne plays.
Okay. Yeah, I think so, I've heard that.
Yeah, there's like nowhere to sit if you ever go there, but it's like it's just built in the middle of wherever they could find like a plot of land, as is most of the stuff dealing with mountains or whatever else. I had a funny story there too with a buddy. We're driving through West Virginia. We were going down to Myrtle Beach years ago on spring break, and we're driving through West Virginia, and it's like, man, we're talking about like my girlfriend, now wife. We were talking, and she's all freaked out about driving down in the cavernous part of the mountains. Oh my God, we're gonna die. It's like December. You see a little bit of ice or snow wherever. And it's like, well, if we die, where's the helicopter life flight you out of here? And my buddy, just deadpan, dark humor type guy, he goes, well, they landed on the football field. And I look at him and I'm like, where the hell is there a football field? Where do you put a football field here? And then, of course, it was, well, wherever they could fit them.
Yeah.
So it's like the airplane goes wherever. But one last look. This is kind of eerie. This was the one I was trying to show, too. I like to take photos when I go places. I wish I explained this to like the younger generation when you don't have a smart or camera phone on you anymore. Or back in the day, like Heinz Field, the ketchup bottles. There's the giant eagle up there during the player warmups. Like that's all going to be gone now. It's just, you know, it was kind of cool to go underneath it. And you just have no idea. Even this picture doesn't do it justice. This was actually during the whole COVID thing. It was like one of the three home games that they actually had. So there weren't very many people there. That's why you don't see anybody in the stands. It's a little bit of a close up type shot, but you know, these things are massive. You're laughing. You're like, oh yeah, some yinzer's going to buy it. It's going to be, the thing wouldn't, I bet you it's bigger than my car, or it's bigger than like a garbage truck or whatever. Like, just where does that go? You know where it's going to end up? All kidding aside, Randyland. That would be the perfect spot for it, because there's just so much junk there already.
What's Randyland?
Randyland, come on, man. You're over off the war streets and stuff. That place, it's just like that multicolored building that has like museum.
Yeah,
and it's the two guys that were together. I think the one passed away, actually.
Or like the Heinz
something
Museum,
tragic.
Maybe it'll go there.
Yeah, he had an illness or cancer or something, if I'm recalling my story correctly. I think one of the two guys, like, but they started just like with, I don't know, doing something goofy. Like my mom's got like all of these things in her flower beds. She loves like flamingos and all these goofy like contraptions. Anything you can get her with a flower pot or related gnomes, you know, that type of thing. And they just started with like random decorations and just like transformed into this huge thing. And it's like, hopefully I don't have my story wrong, but it's like something to actually see. And if you're not familiar and you're driving around, like it's not far from the North Shore there. If you ever come out for a game and even just drive by it, you're gonna go, what the heck is that? And it's just such an odd place.
It's definitely one of those places that I'll see, I'm like, oh yeah, I've seen that a million times. I just couldn't pick up on what he was talking about. So yeah, I'm sure I know what it is. I just can't put my finger on it right now.
You know what, we'll do one more, for because we do this for the people, of course. So here you go. I'm going to...
Selflessness only on this show. The Steel City selflessness.
Got it up just barely, but it's on the screen. There you go, buddy. It's quite the interesting place.
Is that by the big painting of Clemente?
I think it's somewhere in the whereabouts there. I just know if you end up coming off like where the Children's Museum and all that is, it's somewhere in that general vicinity.
Okay, then yeah, I've been around there.
Yeah, if you ever walk out of the stadium out of like gate B and just keep walking like straight towards, I know there's like a 7-Eleven else like over there. You're not too far off the beaten path.
Oh, I know exactly where you're talking about. Yeah. That like cluster. I won't say that for it anymore, like that cluster that you have whenever you park and you try to get, that's a common area to go park and you start walking to the field.
Yeah, they send you like right over there. I don't ever like parking over there. What is that, Forbes Park or whatever that's over there too? So
yeah.
Anyways, I think we've had enough randomness for today. Let's hope. It would be really cool to see Acrisure Field at Three Rivers Stadium or something like that, but it's not Three Rivers Stadium. That's the only thing that bothers me about it. Like, it's, you know, Mile High, at Mile High. Denver's a mile high, I guess, with the Three Rivers. At the Three Rivers. Maybe you just don't say stadium. Acrisure Stadium at Three Rivers.
Yeah.
Or North Shore
I would
or something.
I would be fine with that. If they can incorporate, like, the city in some kind of way, or the Steelers themselves, that would be a way to win over the fans with the name change. If they just leave it as Acrisure Ovaltine, it's not going to be like well perceived until the season gets here and there's something else to bitch about. Once football's here, fans will go right back just to bitching about Tomlin or Deontay dropping the ball or whatever, and the stadium name will be in the rearview mirror. But right now, it's front and center because we are in the dead zone of NFL news.
Well, speaking of that, right above your head, don't you have the Heinz Field like sign miles away?
Dude.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Yeah, I just got that. The Heinz Field 11 miles away. Look at that. Boom. Dang. Gonna have to...
I know. I got one for Brian.
They better pay for that.
They're going to have to pay to change your signs.
Yeah, send me a new one.
Yeah, they're going to have to change a whole lot of things around. I don't know. It took them forever to change when it was went from console to PPG, the signs that were all around. So it might be a year or two, and inevitably you're going to have one of the Yinzers in November or something go into a game, their first game, and they're going to be like, hey, I didn't know this isn't Heinz Field anymore.
I couldn't find like Heinz Field, even though it's in the same spot.
Yeah, same exact spot. Well, hey, it's good having you back, man. I know it's like... It's like me and Brian often say, and this might be beyond your generation, but like Seinfeld was the show about nothing. Yeah. And this was almost like the show about nothing. Like we had a couple of decent points here, but it's like, you're just, what else are you going to talk about? This is the stuff, like, believe it or not though, like we love all the people who support the programming here, and we don't mean to just babble all of the time, but let's face it. You could sit down and have a beer with one of us and we're sitting watching, well, we can't drink at training camp or something, but we're at a game or something. These are things we're chit-chatting at, like at dead spots during the game or something like that, or tailgating. It's just like one of those like common conversations. And
yeah, just shooting it, man. I was telling my buddy, my buddy always asks me when we're hanging out, he's like, anything new in Steeler world? And I'm like, no, man, not right now. And this time of year is when you don't want to hear about your team this time of year, because this is when dudes will get pulled over for driving drunk or worse, or they'll get in trouble at a party, or they'll like, this is that, that's a cliche I've heard for years now. That's still holds true. This is the time of year you don't want anything new to happen with your football team, unless it's a contract development in a positive light like Minka's. But that is such a small, that's a microcosm of what typically happens during this time of year with NFL teams. So the fact that we have nothing to talk about besides the stadium change and making fun of the Browns, that's a good thing. Good show.
Hey, they threw us a nugget here, man. We needed something.
Yeah,
so it was
really,
like, it's
was
good.
5 minutes before we started the show, I was like, did you see this?
Yeah, well, we got, I actually didn't see the Acrisure announcement until you sent it to me this morning. And I was like, oh man, like already? Like, well, it's good. At least we're not talking about it and then have to can the whole thing. And lo and behold, watch, it'll be something different. Speaking of can, I just whacked the old Labatt. Let's move it over there. I don't want to ding it. I got to
keep
everything
that thing safe.
Pristine.
Get that back on its pedestal.
Yeah, I definitely got to, man. All right. Well, let's put a bow on this. I guess Acrisure, whatever the hell it's going to be called. And like, we'll have some more coming up because I know you're probably planning on being at camp a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to try. Usually I try to go on a Sunday because I work a majority of the other days that they're there. So I usually try to coordinate with a buddy or something to go up on a Sunday. So I'm 99% sure I'll be there for at least one or two of the days.
I'll try and bump into you at some point there. Somebody, hey, if you see me out there, go right ahead. But I'll be in hiding. I'm not quite like some of the guys that have like their charts and their notepads or the telephoto lenses trying to tell you, you know, so and so went the 3 of 5 passing and
no,
whatever.
No,
drill.
No,
like,
I tweet a lot, but that's
I'm just
every
chilling
day
there.
Me.
I have a notepad. I'll have somewhere in my trusty pen. I wasn't clicking my pen yet, but I got to bring out trusty pen and also screw with the autofocus on my camera, as I've learned. So anyways, folks, continue joining us. We're going to talk, I think, some AFC North football coming up, and also how the Steelers are underdogs, and maybe on my quest too to find a Lindy's 2022 pro football preview. I'm just too cheap right now to, it's like $18 if I ship it or something like that. And I'm like, I've gone to like a couple of different bookstores around town, the magazines. It's the only one that's out right now. And I don't know if you're a big, it's just traditional for me. I like buying that magazine. I like buying the Sports Illustrated Fantasy. Love those two magazines yearly. Just the regular Lindy's, the Lindy's Fantasy. I'm Lindy's Fantasy's out there, Athlon's out there, but I haven't seen like Sporting News, I haven't seen Sports Illustrated, I haven't seen the regular Lindy's, and I'm missing like maybe one or two others that are out there. I love my preseason books, even though they get outdated and moves are being made and everything like that. And maybe it's already out of date. You never know. But I think last year, Ray Fittipaldo wrote the piece in there because Ed Bouchette had moved over to The Athletic. He'd always done the column piece there, but it's usually always some type of local beat reporter or writer who writes for each of these teams. So you get a pretty good insight. And most of them are jerks and aren't rainbow and sunshine type like ourselves. So they're going to drag the team, and I'm sure they got dragged again. Like the last few years, Lindy has done nothing but they've had the Steelers in like last place of the division for like the last 5 years, and it's never materialized ever since the AFC North was founded, which is also another good trivia nugget there. So anyways, again,
can't
I promise
greatness.
You can't deny it. Nope, you can't. Until next time, folks, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. My name's Joe. His name is Zach. And as we do each and every time, we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.